This Finish Line Radio podcast brought to you by WePaint. Give owner Jamie Goodman a call at 1-912-341-5372. At WePaint, we paint so you don't have to.
Dale's Heating and Air presents Finish Line Radio.
Finish Line Radio.
On ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Your home for NASCAR in the Valley.
It's Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand.
This was like the most dull I've ever came in here. Welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios.
A little war pigs for you.
It's
Black
Finish
Sabbath
Line Radio
reunion concert this weekend.
I like it. Presented by Dale's Heating and Air. Whether you're listening to us on the FM dial or the new ESPN 101.3 app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. On today's show, we'll recap this past week's race at Hot Atlanta and hear from NASCAR's most popular driver and winner, Chase Elliott. News in the world of NASCAR.
Is that the Dawsonville sirens going off right there?
I think so. News in the world of NASCAR. Drivers leaving at the end of the year. Got to wait for this. We're in Chicago. I'm done trying to figure it out. And MRN's Alex Hayden will join us to get you ready. Cup standings, Rick Cart Memorial Fantasy League standings, which this guy and the guy across from me performed very well. And much, much more on today's Finish Line Radio.
We're the only ones adding cars going at the race.
Presented by Dale's Heating and Air. He's got vans going all over the place on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. I'm your host, Jamie Kyle. To my radio right, well, he's gone back to the place where everybody knows his name, Disney World, with his family. That's all things Alabama, Jason Hildebrand. The man spinning the tunes, spinning opinions, keeping us on the air. He sits across the table. Ran across him on the greenway walking the other day. We're both trying to live a long time, Webb.
Trying to eat some miles.
You had a light gray shirt on to begin with. It wasn't very light gray when I saw you.
Well, I mean, when it's a bazillion degrees outside.
It was that. So that's Super Producer Scott Webb. All right, some drivers, a lot of drivers, had issues this week, either with their tires or maybe some motor issues. They should have called Premier Tire and Auto. They have a history of providing tires and making sure your car is running great. Well, that's their passion. They even have courtesy cars, so you don't even have to miss work. Locally owned and located off North Lee Highway, give them a call, 423-479-3365, and get back on the road today. All right, time for the heater dud meter. I'm going to go with a solid one. Here's why. The pack racing, okay. The fact that you could pull up behind somebody and you could pass them before they had a chance to block you. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, there was cars, and I don't know if I had put this on our group text or whatever, but gosh, man, it just seemed like it was a...
There was no way to stop runs.
No, and once they got behind you, it was zoom down to the bottom. I mean, it just looked fast, and I don't know if they were going any faster than they'd go on any other mile and a half, but it looked really fast. I enjoyed it. I watched it. We were at an event, so I was trying to keep up with it and trying to keep up with y'all's text at the same time. And then when I got home, I got to watch the whole last segment. Which was just super exciting. It earned a one for me.
No, it was absolutely, to me, in my opinion, it was the best race of the year because it was nonstop action, really from, even in, during the first segment, in the first section of the race, the segment one, you know, Logano led most of the laps, but there was some exciting stuff, a lot of going, you know, ebb and flow going on there. But once the big wreck happened, it felt like those guys had their hair on fire
right. The
rest of the night because it became aggressive. When you had a run, you had to take it. It was not, nobody was waiting. And it was like that for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
It was just whoever could get the run and get to the front, you just went. And it was just electric all night long. I couldn't have been, I, you know, to me, and I'm sure we'll get into this talk, but even Junior talked about it on his podcast this week. I don't even, maybe this, it's time for this race to be the cutoff race because it is just producing, even in the summer when you don't have quite the grip and quite the, you know, the track is too hot and all that sort of stuff. Even the summer races have been dramatic and dynamic. And this race to me was just everything I'd want to see in a super speedway-ish type race or just a race in general. I thought it was the best race of the year.
All right, so I get the whole make it a cutoff race because it's exciting and stuff like that. I would say this. This is my opinion. Why can't we just leave it and let it be what it is? Because the thing is if we want to move something to make it exciting, we want to move this to move here, move this to move here. But I think it's great right where it is. And you know, Jeff Gluck said that the viewership was only like 1.1 million on Saturday night, which was a whole lot less, but no, 1.5.
It's 1.5, 1.6.
Well, Ryan Blaney comes on, is like, why are you saying that as a negative? You know, it was actually 500,000 more than watched Formula One, and it was on a Saturday night. So I think that, you know, we can let's just, it is one of those races that reminded me, or not reminded me, I think it put me in a scenario to where I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. Which is what I want in a race. In Daytona and Talladega, they can produce that at times with 20 laps to go or 15 right. to go.
But they've become such a fuel mileage deal.
This car doesn't work well there.
It works okay there, but it's these races become, I've got to run X amount of laps to get this certain
80%.
Number. Right. And we don't see the action that we saw this past week where it was just they weren't as concerned about fuel. Tires did make a difference because there was some cars that took tires late in the race. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and some guys that were running back in the 12, 15 range, they were able to move themselves forward with new tires. So tires played a role. But it just produced from the big wreck to the end of the race and just didn't let up. And that was what I couldn't, like, you couldn't take your eyes off the TV because you just were afraid you were going to miss something.
And it wasn't like a Daytona Talladega where, you know, I drove, of course, a race car at Daytona. Yeah. You know,
I talked about that today.
Yeah, it kind of just, we can't get in there and drive with 38 of our other friends and be competitive because of how close you are and stuff like that. So I guess what I'm saying is that in any driver, and we've seen it, can go out and race at Daytona and Talladega. They can go set in a line and they may make a mistake later on, but they can go do that. It took driving skill at Atlanta. I remember seeing the 48 of Bowman. I thought he was going to clip whoever it was behind him that he had just passed to move up a position. He just threw that thing in there and then shot it down at the bottom and made a pass. And I mean, those things require skills. And that's what I think I appreciated and went into my one on the dud meter was it seemed like it wasn't just a whoever had the best car. You had to be able to drive the car in order to be able to make things happen.
Absolutely. And that, all that we talk, and I know I mention this probably every week on the show, but we talk about variables. And we talked about having the drivers play more of a role in what the racing looked like. And I think we got every bit of that this week. We had the drivers had to be able to make the pass when they could make the pass because having a run mattered. And if you didn't have a run, you were just going to be stuck or somebody was going to get a run off of you and go.
Yeah.
And it just put more emphasis on the driving. And I think that's what probably to me shined through was that the driver was more of a factor. It wasn't slam your foot on the gas and just get it around the track. It was, I had to know when to go. I had to know when the runs were coming. I had to, all the stuff we love about speedway racing was on full display.
And they had to go up to the top to grab momentum. If they got past, you saw Chase do it a couple times. He started out kind of the bottom, would go to the top to grab that momentum coming down the hill off the turn.
Right, because a lot of times we see Talladega, Daytona-type racing, it's what lane is the fastest? And you're always trying to maneuver to get in that lane. I didn't think at any point in the race I felt like, oh, there's one particular lane that's getting around here the fastest. No. It's whatever is going the fastest at this particular moment, and I've got to either try to cut that off or I'm a sitting duck. And we saw, I think, 46 passes for the lead that was at the line and probably twice that many of just people moving back and forth and making passes throughout the race. Fabulous.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say. It was just electric racing.
All right. So did we answer the question, Daytona or Atlanta?
It did for me.
Yeah.
I mean, is always – there's something special about Daytona.
Right.
But the Atlanta races, the last, since they've done the repave and the reconfiguration, have been better. I just think that's my opinion, And I just think they've been, it's been better, better racing, better entertainment, just overall a better, that's what I envision when I think of super speedway racing.
Yeah. All right. So perfect scenario for NASCAR on a Saturday night, you have, you're at Atlanta Motor Speedway, and then you get the most popular driver in Chase Elliott getting the win. You couldn't have asked for a better. And the one thing that I, again, Scott, that, that kind of, you know, jumped out at me is, and even, and Blaney mentioned this, Blaney was in his motorhome and said he could hear the crowd cheering for Chase as he got out. And he said that was different. You looked at the Atlanta Motor Speedway and the people in the stands, and there were a ton of them.
Packed.
Yeah.
And I think that that correlates directly with what the race is producing over the last, was it, are we 3-4 years into the reconfiguration?
I think so, yeah.
And I think when at that first race, decent crowd, and we've seen the crowd grow bigger. And this was in the middle of summer. It's 90-something degrees outside. There's storms blowing up all over Atlanta, and that place is jam-packed because it's producing. And if you put on a good show, people still want to come. There's nothing like, I was just talking about this today with somebody who's been to some NASCAR races, and she said there's nothing like going there and seeing it in person.
Oh yeah.
And if it can look like that, that's the kind of race I want to go. I mean, we used to, how many years in a row did you go to Bristol?
13.
Because it was producing great racing week in and year in and year out.
Oh yeah.
And you just love to be there. And this kind of has that feel. I've never been like, I've got to get to an Atlanta race, but I'm starting to get to the point where I got to get to an Atlanta race. I want to see this in person. That's how excited I was watching the race.
Yeah, it was definitely something. All right. So let's talk about a couple of drivers here. Another top 10 for Legacy Motorsports. Is this 5-6 weeks in a row? We have Eric Jones this time up in the top 10. I don't know what they're doing, and nobody's asked the question. Maybe we ask Alex, you know, when he comes on, if there's something that has changed in that group, or if it's just a timing issue of you start a new team or you rebrand a team and you start doing some things differently, and then all of a sudden it finally clicks.
We need to be patient, let them take some time to mature as a team and see what it looks like. You know, Eric Jones is a very talented driver. He's been around, you know, he ran at Gibbs for years, had some success in the Xfinity Series coming up. We knew he had a good talent. It was a matter of not whether or not they could get the cars competitive enough. And as we've seen with this new edition of the car, I think it's easier for teams to make them more competitive.
Right.
And they've taken the steps. They've been patient, and they've worked through. And now you've got two race cars that pretty much week in and week out are pretty competitive. Usually it's one or the other, but they're taking the steps and moving in the right direction. So you tip your hat and say, well done, Legacy. You just keep continuing to do the things you're going to do. You're going to mess around, win something, and that'll get you into the playoffs. Well done.
The NASCAR in-season challenge has taken off, and I think it's in its second week now. And you had the 1 versus the 32 at the top with Hamlin versus Ty Dillon. Reminded me a little bit of the NCAA basketball tournament. We had a Cinderella in Ty Dillon win, and the comments afterwards, fantastic.
No,
I
just beat your favorite driver.
That was awesome.
Perfect.
So we had
Denny, and Denny loved it too. He said on his podcast, he said Ty texted him to apologize, and Denny said, don't apologize. I absolutely love that stuff.
That was fantastic. And let's see, looks like Brad Keselowski beat Kyle Busch. That was a 17-16. Bowman beats Logano. Logano out early. And Wallace beats Suarez. Big news coming up here in just a few on Suarez. Nemechek and Berry. Nemechek beat Josh Berry. Nemechek was a 12th seed. That shows you how well they've been running. Then Elliott, of course, beat Austin Dillon. Chastain got beat by Eric Jones. Bell and Stenhouse. Stenhouse Jr. beat Christopher Bell. Stenhouse on a little heater.
Well, Stenhouse, they made a great call late because that car was going to finish 10 to 12, 15th place. They go in and get tires late when nobody else goes in, and they just drive right up to the front. We had a chance.
We had a 32 B-1, and we also had a 31 B-2. Noah Gregson beat Chase Briscoe. He goes on to face Ryan Preece. And in the 24 car of William Byron, not been that great of late.
Well, is it one of those deals where Byron's kind of hitting one of those lulls? You know, they've been very inconsistent over the last few summers, where they just have runs 3, 2, 3, 4 weeks. They just don't run very well, and we may be in the middle of another one of those runs where they're just not going out there and having. Now, this doesn't mean I don't think he has a chance to not win the championship, and he can't make a big run in the playoffs. But they do tend to have these kind of lulls throughout the year. This would be a great week, a road course. He's good on a road course. This would be a great bounce back week. But you know, we've kind of got the 24 circled to see what's happening here over the course of the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Let's see who else we got. Let's see, McDowell and Allmendinger. Allmendinger move forward. Gibbs and Haley. Gibbs move forward. That's not really. It's kind of, these seeds are a little closer down here. Smith and Cindric. Smith beats Austin Cindric. And then Busher beats Gilliland.
When you started an in-season talent challenge at essentially a super speedway and drafting track,
never know what
you're
gonna get.
Never know what you're going to get.
That's exactly right. All right, let's head to our shock finisher of the week.
Shock finisher of the week brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grading.
Caldwell Paving and Grading, a second generation locally owned company. They've got their own asphalt plant. They can do your driveways, roads, and they can do interstates too. For a free quote, give them a call, 423-336-3841. So I'm going to go with Ty Dillon. I thought he had a pretty good run, even though it was at a super speedway. If you just base it on the in-season challenge being a 32 seed and to be able to finish ahead of Denny Hamlin.
I'm going to take our race winner, Chase Elliott. Chase has been, and we talked about this on last week's show, very consistent. They've been very good, but they have not taken advantage of any opportunities and really haven't created a lot of opportunities to go out there and win a race. And he was, even when the big wreck happened, he was up front. That's why he missed it.
Right.
So they were strong. And to win at your home track, I know what that meant to him. So I'll take Chase Elliott as my shock finisher of the week.
All right. Speaking of Chase Elliott, gets his first win of the year. I know Jason and I have talked about it a lot when you were out, and we've talked about it a lot as a group, and, you know, to have the most popular driver. And we kept saying, you know, hey, we're talking about the fact that, you know, Chase Elliott doesn't have a win, but yet he's sitting there, I think at the time, in maybe fourth or fifth in points. And, you know, so it wasn't like he was running bad, just didn't seem like he could close it out as a team. Don't let this guy get some momentum. This guy gets momentum, and we saw
it a few years ago, yeah, after COVID. Man, right. They got hot after COVID and just took it all the way to a championship.
And it's not, this guy's not one that will win at a super speedway. He can road course with the best of them. So you may even see him this weekend. So let's hear from Chase Elliott on his win at Atlanta.
There's really only been one other time in my career that I felt like, I don't even know. I'm not even sure that anything has ever matched that. Like, that was just, it was crazy. I've never like, you know, been on stage and been a singer or anything like that, but I would have to imagine, you know, it would have to feel something like that. You know, it was just, such an incredible experience. And, to your point, you know, I think that it just kind of goes to show how great our fans have been to me and to us. And it just kind of really makes you appreciate them even more for really sticking with us and not giving up hope, and ultimately being able to give both me and my team an experience like that, you know, because of their determination and unwillingness to quit on us is really cool. So just, grateful to have experienced that. Something I'll remember for the rest of my life. Winning at home, was incredible the first time, and they feel different, but you know, this one Saturday night under the lights, been a while since we won, getting ourselves a win and advancing up on the playoff thing and just all the things that have come with this, you know, that was, that one was up there for sure. And, grateful to have experienced it.
That Victory Lane interview is brought to you by Quick Check Convenience Mart. This is my neighborhood gas station. At Quick Check, you'll find a great selection of food and drinks, plus midnight oil gasoline for your car. And they got 100% gasoline for your lawn equipment, located here in Cleveland at 5693 Mouse Creek Road. Stop by and fill up today. All right, if you see anything on Thursdays, really cool segment that WebOb Digital Marketing does for us, or a really cool post when they do the throwback Thursday stuff, yeah, which is really cool. So anything you see that looks professional like that, or like today, telling you about our show, that's done by WebOb Digital Marketing. They can do the same for your business. Go to webob.com for more information. Got a lot of news in the world of NASCAR. We'll talk about it right after this.
Buckle up and hang on. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Pull those straps tight. It's time for more Finish Line Radio on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb in the Duane Williams Memorial Studios. Listen, that air conditioner is not pumping out the air like it needs to on these hot days. Give Dale a call, 509-8787. That's 423-509-8787. Or do like we do, just call dales.com. All right, news in the world of NASCAR, as always, is brought to you by Mouse Creek Pharmacy. This is my pharmacy and has been for years. Is your insurance denying your weight loss drugs? Mouse Creek Pharmacy has weight loss compounds that you can pay cash for, and are as low as $154. To find out more information, go by and see them at 570 Mouse Creek Road in Cleveland, Tennessee, or give them a call, 423-790-0443. All right, breaking news that broke last night, Scott. I sent you guys a message in case you weren't on X, but somebody just texted me and is like, I'm assuming they have padded walls now and bumpers. He wants NASCAR to go back to like Days of Thunder. Anyways,
days they're writing their
Days of Thunder too. I know. That's what I told him. That's what he's like. Are they going to have padded walls and whatever? Shut up, Cross. All right. So Trackhouse Racing and Daniel Suarez agrees to part ways. I think we had to kind of know this is coming. They're doing it at the end of the 2025 season. I've got quotes from both Justin Marks and Daniel Suarez here. From Justin Marks, who is the part team owner, the role Daniel played in the Trackhouse origin story in its first 5 years will remain a valued part of the company's history forever. His commitment, work ethic, and dedication to the effort is one of the most impressive things I personally have seen in my career. We will forever be thankful and honored that Daniel chose to spend many incredible years with us. We are proud of his wins, his successes, the growth of his brand, and his emergence as a valuable athlete in America's greatest motorsports. But most of all, I'm proud of him as a friend. I truly am excited to see what awaits him in the next chapter of his amazing career. We are grateful for the professionalism, effort, and heart he has brought to our organization. That was sent to me by Justin Marks. Daniel Suarez sent a statement as well and said, I've had some of the best years in the Cup Series at Trackhouse. We had great success is as a team, and I gained some incredible friends. We took a team nobody had even heard of in 2021, and in just a couple of years, we're winning races and running up front on a weekly basis. Just like this season in a year, makes no sense. Sometimes things change, and we have mutually agreed to each go in our own direction. I wish Trackhouse nothing but the best. This is number 99. This 99 team will always be a special to me. And I always say the best is ahead. That's from Daniel Suarez. So, as I said, I think we kind of had it, we saw the writing on the wall, and yeah. You only thought the only way he would stay or they wouldn't announce this until the end would be if he got a win. And just not performing on a consistent basis.
Just
and
too inconsistent.
Yeah. And I think that's the, that's one of the things I think that got Daniel. Interesting to see, though. I mean, Connor Zilich, probably the next hot item that, could fill that car. But your thoughts on Daniel Suarez?
Guy's had, a lot of – he's had not a lot of success. I mean, he's had quite a bit of success, especially in the Xfinity Series. And, this is what, stop number two, where it just kind of fizzled out, or is that JGR to start off with and just couldn't really build any momentum or get anything going there and had a good start to his Trackhouse career. And then it's just kind of, they won last year. I think it last year at Atlanta,
yeah,
by a nose over Blaney and Kyle Busch, but it just too inconsistent, too week in and week out, just not performing. We've seen these other cars at their organization kind of just have – more consistent speed and be in the mix more frequently.
Yeah.
And you can only do that for so long at this sport, and eventually contracts up, you know, we're just going to part ways and wish each other well. And that's what's happened here. So it'd be interesting to see if there's any of those teams out there that, you know, these up and coming teams or these teams that these lower budget teams that may be interested. I don't see him signing with anybody significant. But, you know, he's a good race car driver, and he's had a lot of success.
Absolutely. NASCAR announced Derrick Rose is going to give the command at Chicago. Derrick Rose of the Chicago Bulls. So it's time for your NASCAR Cup point standings, brought to you by Bremaia with Cry Like Realtors. Whether you're selling your home or buying your dream home, you need a realtor you can trust. Bree is a realtor I trust, and you should too. Give her a call, 1-269-598-6243 today. Scott Webb, got to take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. It's now time for your NASCAR Cup Series point standings after the running of the Quaker State 400, available at Walmart. What are we doing with these things?
I don't know.
Killing me. William Byron is still your overall point leader as a 30.7 over now. Second place, Chase Elliott. Kyle Larson, third. Denny Hamlin, fourth. Christopher Bell, Tyler Reddick, Ryan Blaney, Ross Chastain, Chris Buescher, and Chase Briscoe, your top 10. Joey Logano, Alex Bowman, Bubba Wallace, Ryan Preece, Austin Cindric, and Eric Jones into the top 16. 16, 17, 18. Eric Jones, A.J. Allmendinger, Carson Hulsevar, and then Josh Berry in 19th with a win, so he would be in the playoffs right now. And that is your, and all of them ahead of Kyle Busch. NASCAR Cup Series standing.
Talk about my driver like that. It'll be the last M&Ms I ever bring you. All right, those are all brought to you by Bree Maya with Cry Like Realtors. Give her a call to sell your house today, 1-269-598-6243. I figured if I went slow enough on that number, it would turn to the bottom of the hour, in which that time we have to call Mr. Alex Hayden with MRN. We'll talk to him right after this.
We got you covered. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. The green flag is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, he's in Disney World.
He's in Disney World.
He's got
our guest, one of our guest favorite places on Earth.
Used to be there. So Alex Hayden with MRN. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, going well. How are things with you guys?
We are fantastic. I mean, Scott has been beside himself today talking about Atlanta and how good the race was.
Listen, it was the best race of the year. That's just one man's opinion, but I was on the edge of my seat the entire night.
Well, that's a good thing. I mean, as long as you're talking about it, doesn't matter what the scenario is. I mean, it was certainly entertaining, no question about that. Provided a good finish, I'm glad. Don't get me wrong. Now, after the big pileup, we had great drafting, great racing. They were bump drafting. They were doing typical drafting track things. It just kind of makes me wrinkle my forehead and wonder, why do they not do that at Talladega and Daytona? Why do they insist on wrecking each other at Daytona and Talladega as opposed to just racing each other like they did in Atlanta? So maybe the drivers themselves have turned a corner with that style of racing and said, you know, that's enough. We're tired of just flat out wrecking one another.
You know, I noticed the Jeff Gluck had the viewership or whatever, and it was like 1.5 million viewers or whatever on a Saturday night. And, you know, I was a little perplexed by that as far as that number of viewers, and it could be first time on TNT. Who knows what it is? I know Ryan Blaney popped in on X and said, hey, that's 500,000 more than F1. When you think about it, you know, we gripe about a lot, right? The race was boring. Not enough people showing up in the stands. And then, well, here we go. We're talking on NASCAR Talk. We're going to hammer the viewership now because we got nothing else to complain about for this weekend. What would be that? Are we moving around too much on TV this year and not just, you know, Fox and NBC?
I think there's certainly a degree of that. But realistically, if you look at numbers for television ratings, Saturday night races have never really been outstanding. They've been good. And to Ryan Blaney's point, he's right. 1.5 million people watching a race is pretty spectacular. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze about. That's 1.5 million people. And especially when you compare that to Formula One, which is coming off the big opening of the new F1, the movie. So it's got people jazzed up and thinking about Formula One. Hey, let's tune in and watch. Well, NASCAR still kicked their butt in the ratings. So I just don't understand why people want to complain about something. It could be a perfect race and have a different leader every single lap and 6 wide at the finish line, and people are still going to complain about it. So, you know, that's just the nature, I guess. And sometimes you just got to tune that out. That's at least what I do. Tune it out, because the positives far, far outweigh the negatives.
Alex, the big news, I guess, this week was the mutual separation, I guess, from Daniel Suarez and Trackhouse Racing. I think there have been rumblings in the past that it's just not everybody's not on the same page there. But what have you heard?
Yeah, this was like the worst kept secret in the garage. And it's nice that they finally made it public. Daniel will be racing in the Cup Series next year full time. Don't worry if you're a Suarez fan. Maybe he'll be at College Racing next year. And maybe in 27, College Racing will be the Dodge team. I don't know.
God, just dropping hints and acting like you're not dropping hints. Way to go.
Oh, here we go. It's going to be one of them shows.
So we'll start with the why I think it will be College Racing. And that's because one of the top executives in the sport of NASCAR with different race teams, he's led many teams to a lot of success, is a guy named Ty Norris. Ty Norris used to be at Trackhouse. Ty left it to go to College Racing to try to spur things on at College this year. Well, he's over at College now, and now Daniel Suarez is leaving Trackhouse. He and Ty have a wonderful relationship, and Ty has a great knack for bringing sponsors aboard. So I look for him to go to College Racing. Now, that says, okay, well, who's going to be out at College, because they only have 2 cars with Ty Dillon and AJ Allmendinger. We know AJ's Matt College boy, and I don't see Allmendinger going back to the Xfinity Series. I think he's going to stay in the Cup car. I think Ty Dillon may be the odd man out in all this. And I mentioned the potential for Dodge, because we know Ram is coming back in the Truck Series full time next year, but they want to go Cup racing in 2027. Well, the reason I think it's going to be College is because at Michigan International Speedway, when the Ram Dodge folks were there for the big Truck Series announcement, walking out the pit lane Cup pre-race to do this Truck Series announcement were the Dodge executives, and walking directly beside them were Matt College and Chris Rice, the owner and GM and president of College Racing. They walked out and stood side by side, shoulder to shoulder with them for the whole announcement. So kind of foreshadowing a little bit right there. I think that's where we're at. And I think Connor Zilich, who drives for Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Kelly Miller right now for Junior Motorsports, I think he's the guy that goes to Trackhouse next year full time in the Cup car, because remember, a lot of people don't know this, but Connor Zilich is under contract to Justin Marks and Trackhouse Racing, and has been.
Yeah, since he's been in the 88 car, which is kind of a joint venture with Trackhouse and Junior. So with the Dodge thing, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and I don't know if I'd read it somewhere, if I just thought that it might happen. But I guess when you look at other teams, Penske's been the only one that's kind of had they've went to Dodge, and then they've went to Ford, and they've pretty much stayed there. I think he did Chevy way back in the day. But so you think they go with College and they don't try to find somebody like a Roush Fenway that might be struggling where they're at now and can kind of put a boost in there, since, you know, Brad's had a relationship with Dodge in the past?
Is Roush Fenway Keselowski struggling? That's my question. If you look at the last 9 races, RFK has more top 10s than any race team, including Hendrick, including Penske, including Gibbs. They're the best team right now. Are they winning every race? No. But they're in position, and I think RFK's in a pretty good spot. So I don't see them going anywhere else with a different manufacturer. there could be a different team do that. There could be a new team on the horizon. Just don't know yet. May not be the only new manufacturer coming into the sport of NASCAR racing either. So there's a lot of question marks that are still out there, and there's a lot of smoke in the garage, if you will. And more times than not, when there's smoke, there's fire. Now, whether it's white smoke or black smoke, I don't know if we're going to have a Pope or not. There's a lot going on right now, but I could see potential. Pay attention to this lawsuit. I think that's the big deal right now.
Okay.
Because if 2311 loses this lawsuit, and they're losing a lot right now, if they lose this thing, there's going to be an awful lot of charters that go back to NASCAR. And that would be awfully attractive to new manufacturers.
So since you mentioned that, if they lose this, does that – there's no charters then with Bubba and Reddick, right?
Well, it is in the contract, and it's not a secret, for both Tyler Reddick and Bubba Wallace, that to drive for 2311, it's in contract that they are guaranteed to drive chartered cars. So if they lose their charters, then Reddick and Bubba are free to go wherever they want to go if there's another team owner that wants to hire them. I could see that happening. They're both talented race car drivers, and I think that's something that can happen. And it's, hey, look, numbers don't lie. 2311 is a mess right now. Reddick won three times last year. Both drivers are showing some speed every now and then, but aren't performing at the level we're used to seeing them perform. You got to think that it's chaos inside the walls. I got a lot of friends that work at 2311, and they tell me often that it's hard to focus on the task at hand when they're more worried about, am I going to even have a job in the future? So you got to look at paying bills and taking care of your family as an employee, and that's a pretty big thing to lay out there. So performance is down this year for 2311 because of this lawsuit.
Alex, let's shift gears and talk about a little more pleasant subject. Chase Elliott finally gets off the snide this past week. How important was it for – Chase has had a great year and been very competitive, but how important was it for him to get back in the winner's circle?
It was huge. Keep in mind, this was his second win this year. The first one was a 9 points win, and he won the Clash at Bowman Gray Stadium. Yeah. So he does have that win, and this is huge because it's a points win. And it's his 20th career Cup Series win now for Chase Elliott at his home track. It's huge because he needed this. I think as much for his self-confidence as much as anything, you're right. They're having a great year. Chase Elliott has completed every lap this year with exception of one, and that's it. So he's been running at the finish on the lead lap. He's only missed one lap this year, and that's staggering compared to what we've seen. Heck, just go back 1 week ago to Atlanta, the race he won. Look how many cars got wiped out in that race alone. So for Chase Elliott to complete every lap but one this year speaks high volumes of Chase taking care of the race car, Alan Gustafson and the team bringing good race cars to the track every week. They just needed to get the victory lane. And now that they have, I think this is one of them where there's been a collective sigh of relief, and this may open the floodgates for that nine car.
So we go to Chicago this weekend, and I wonder, and you could tell us this because I know you know, we were talking earlier, is this does Chicago have another year after this, or is that still up in the air?
Nothing has been official. Certainly there's been no chatter either way.
So I wonder if Chicago – go ahead.
I think the Chicago Street Race, if you want to see it, you better get there this weekend because I don't think we're going to have it next year. There's a lot of talk in the garage that the mile and a half in Joliet, Illinois, just south, we call it Chicagoland Speedway. There's some talk that it may come back on the schedule. And the smart money right now for a street race is going to happen next year, but it will probably happen on the West Coast in San Diego, California.
And I think I'm okay with that. We've talked about that, thinking, you know, kind of a move it around kind of place. You have one in New York, Chicago. You go to out to California. I mean, you know, with not having California Super Speedway out there, really we have Sonoma. And I think it would be nice. I think it would be well attended if you had it out you know, in that area, San Diego or whatever. So expectations this weekend, looks like we've got a 40% chance of rain, going to be hotter than blazes. Are you going to be up there?
Yeah. It's going to be all of the above, and I'll be in the soup with everybody else. You know, the two previous Chicago street races, we've had to run the Goodyear wet weather tires. Well, Mother Nature is looking like she's going to pay us a visit again on Sunday during the Cup race. Let's hope not. I'd like to have a clean race with no wet weather tires, but we might have it. Who knows how that's going to play out, but we'll be prepared either way. I think it's put on great racing the first 2 years. I think it'll be a great race again this coming Sunday. I truly believe that. And the backdrop is spectacular with one of the biggest and best cities on the planet in Chicago, right there on the front lawn of Chicago. So I think it's been a great venue. I think it's done exactly what we hoped it would do. And we've proven that every major city out there that, hey, we can come and set up a racetrack on your streets and put on a world-class event that's well-attended, that people want to be a part of it and want to attend. So I think it's been highly successful and checked a lot of boxes off that, not just on the competition side, but on the business side of things as well.
All right, one sentence. In-season challenge, do you like it or no?
You know, I don't have a problem with it. I truly don't. I made a bracket, but there is not, of all the brackets, thousands and thousands and thousands of people making brackets, there is not one perfect bracket left. So I'm good with it. I just don't think starting it off on a drafting track is probably the way to go.
Absolutely. All right, Alex Hayden. Man, I appreciate you very much, and hope you have a fun time up at Chicago, and hope things start looking up for you. And from what the news you got today, so we'll be thinking about you.
Man, appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on the show. It's always a blast.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
That's Alex Hayden with MRN Radio. You can find him on ESPN 101.3 this weekend, calling the race for MRN. Always does a great job there. Wanted to give just a quick shout out to our sponsors, Ballast Moving and Storage. They can help you move any kind from your dream home to moving an aging family member. You can give them a call at 423-763-1000. And Clarity Property Management, they can help you with all of your property management needs. So we need to get to the fantasy standings. That's the Rick Cart fantasy standings.
Yeah, we do, baby.
I'm a numero uno, and Scott is numero two, and Jason can't say anything about it. We'll be back right after this.
The caution is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Fantasy isn't just for football. It's fantasy racing time on Finish Line Radio.
Sponsored by Cleveland Aqua Tigers on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb. It's time for, let me find it on my page, the Rick Cart Fantasy Standings. And those are brought to you by the Cleveland Aqua Tigers. Did you know Cleveland has a summer and a year-round swim team? Well, this is the perfect sponsor for us because, well, they race. If your kiddo wants to race or just be involved in a team sport, check out cat.swimtopia.com for more information. It's an absolute pleasure to read today.
It is. I was very excited for this segment today and just happy that we could share this moment together.
We can. Listen, where's Heater at in this thing? Anyway, all right, me at the top with the win, 188 points. Webb, not too far behind me in second place. Kivo Racing finally gets off to Schneid and finishes third. RLM Racing is in fourth. Teddy O in fifth. Finally, he has a bad week. Loving left turns. I don't even know if he's back from vacation yet. Him and Blake Buell, whatever his name is, they don't ever compete anymore. Jason Hildebrand in eighth. Untethered Racing, he is pretty tethered, in ninth. Bentley Thomas, finally, I guess he played because he sent me a message saying that the race was good. And then Brandon Gaines in 11th. Tarpley, he's gone again, in 12th. Going to rattle your cage. He's horrible. Didn't even. I mean, so many people down here at the bottom.
Listen,
five people.
There was a moment after that big wreck when I flipped over to see what the standings were.
Yeah.
I think me and you were the only ones that were in triple digits.
Well, I mean, yeah, we see who the people.
We are the only ones that had three cars still running.
It's because you get the ones up front. That's the thing you get. All right. And after the horrible going to rattle your cage, the real Lyle I think the other Lyle actually did a little better. All right, overall, Teddy O in this first spot. RLM Racing takes second spot over going to rattle your cage. She's horrible. He's having a bad time. He's down to third. Was in first not too long ago. Hildebrand's falling with him in fourth. Kivo Racing in fifth. Brandon Gaines in sixth. Untethered Racing seventh. Me in eighth. Tarpley in ninth. Loving Left Turns 10. Buell Bull in 11. Webb holding up the 12th spot there. That's good. And the Real Lyle and Bentley Thomas. All right. Well, let's get to this is going to be tough, I think.
Why do you think it's going to be tough?
Well, just because, I mean, look, we know, and you know, I'm going to go with Vance Ginsbergen is in there. Michael McDowell I've got in, which is, he won Indy Road Course, I believe, last year, the year before last, and A.J. Allmendinger. The thing about that is I always pick, like, A.J. Allmendinger in one of these things, and he never does good when I pick him. And so I probably will remove him, but I also added Christopher Bell and then put out last year's winner, Alex Bowman in the spot. I actually picked Bowman this past week at Atlanta, and he performed really well. I got mi amigo Daniel Suarez, as we heard the news earlier in the show, not going to be back with Trackhouse. Maybe I felt bad for him. Put him in the garage. May not be there on Sunday. All right, I got Alex Bowman over Bubba, and then I've got Allmendinger over Ty Gibbs, Buescher over Zane Smith. Why do we have Zane Smith? Anyway, Reddick over Hosovar. NASCAR says, good bet, Shane Van Ginsbergen in the betting pool. Good bet, Christopher Bell. Well, good pick for me. Avoid Denny Hamlin. Avoid A.J. Allmendinger. There's where I was at. And the sleeper, Mr. Ty Gibbs. If you have a gambling problem, stop. Scott Webb, what you got?
A lot of the same names. I got SVG, Christopher Bell, William Byron, who Bell and Byron remember at COTA early in the year, I think second race of the year, second or third race of the year, battled it out. I got McDowell, and I too fell down the A.J. Allmendinger rabbit hole, but I'm going to leave him in there. And Austin Cindric in my garage, a guy that's had some road course wins. So
thought about picking him.
Yep, I got Bowman over Wallace. I got Allmendinger over Gibbs. I got Buescher over Smith and Tyler Reddick over Carson Hocevar.
All right, so what do you think we'll see out of this week? Will this be, and I don't know, you might be able to tell me this. I don't know, because I'm just trying to think if I remember seeing that or not. Did they renew Chicago for next year, or is next year?
That I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's one of those things where I think, you know, do we find out this year, the third rendition of Chicago, if
hopefully
Chicago is going to be a staple?
Hopefully they can get some weather luck, because that's been part of the issue.
It's rained every time.
That they've had to deal with weather.
Which has not been bad, though. I enjoyed the having to switch tires and being able to go.
All that stuff is great, but when you're wanting to come back to a city and they've got all these other events planned, concerts and all that stuff, and you have issues weather-wise, right, it can impact whether or not you're going to bring the race back. But, you know, again, I've always been of the sentiment that if I would like to see this kind of be the traveling circus, do it 2 or 3 years in one city, 2 or 3 years in another city, and kind of move it around. You know, there's even been talk of Montreal maybe involved in the future and something like this.
San Diego.
So I think it would be a way to take NASCAR to places that it's never been before, in a way that, and they've shown that they have the infrastructure and stuff to pull this off. So we'll see. I think the racing should be pretty good. Hopefully the weather will hold out. And if all that stuff adds up, we should have a fun street course race. I don't like back-to-back road courses.
Right.
I would like to see a little more breakup in the schedule as we travel to Sonoma next week. But I thought the racing had been pretty good at the Chicago course when they've been able to run. And they, you know, that one year they had like 9 inches of rain. There was literally, you know, water everywhere, but then able to get the race in the last 2 years. So that's a good, a positive.
Yeah, and I think there's a 40% chance of rain on Sunday, as we mentioned earlier. Heat index, though, that heat index is going to be, here's the real feel again. I just go ahead and say the temperature is going to be 98, because that's going to be the heat index. So it's going to be hot. You do get a little wind off the lake up there, so it should be definitely
some beautiful views.
Absolutely, yeah. So a lot of fun. Hopefully we'll get a sunshine Chicago, and it'll be a good race. And then make sure you tune in on Wednesday. We'll break it down for you. We'll get you ready for Sonoma the next week. I guess we're doing some road courses, so we'll get that done. For Scott Webb, I'm Jamie Kyle. Thanks for listening to another edition of Finish Line Radio.
Don't forget to follow Finish Line Radio on Twitter at Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.